Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite you to call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You read in the book of Hebrews some very startling words about the Old Covenant. Here this is Ten Commandments, this covenant between God and the people of Israel, and you read in Hebrews 8:13 that God has made that first covenant obsolete, and then you read in Hebrews 7:18-19 that former regulation has been set aside because it is weak and useless, and it wasn't helpful in making us perfect or anything like that, and now we have a better hope introduced. Those are startling words. What in the world is the writer of Hebrews getting at in making such statements like that?
Yeah, Bob, I think one of the things is that there's this radical shift away from us trying to make promises to God. I mean, in the Old Covenant, we were promising God, I mean, Israel, humanity, was promising God that we're gonna do this. We will obey everything written in the book of the law. And so Israelites became so-called promise keepers, but quite frankly, they were no good at it. And that first promise keepers convention, if you want to think of it that way, it was a total bust. I mean, and then this new covenant comes along, and the difference is it's not about my promises to God. It's actually an oath that God made to himself. And I don't think a lot of Christians understand that, guys. You know, the most popular question we get on this broadcast, it seems to be, you know, can I lose my salvation? Is it possible for me to, you know, renege on my promises to God, renege on my commitment, renege on my dedication, and end up in a place of losing my salvation? And all of that question presumes that I'm the one that's got to be dedicated and committed in keeping these promises going. And really, the new covenant, the beauty of it, is that it's a promise that God made to himself. And so we've got two unchangeable things, God and God. And then we wake up and just say, thank you for this incredible oath that our Father made to himself. And by faith, we're just simple beneficiaries of this incredible promise.
Yeah, so that's why he said that the old is obsolete, that the old has been set aside, because we have something brand new, something's better, by which we draw near to God and can truly enjoy a relationship with him. That's why it's so vitally important for Christians to know this. And we've talked about this yesterday, Andrew, on the broadcast, that we think this is one of the most misunderstood truths that every Christian needs to know, the fact that we are new covenant believers and not old covenant believers. It's just that important for us to grab hold of it. Otherwise, we're going to be confused. We're going to struggle. We're never going to understand the love of God. We're never going to grow in our relationship with Christ. We're never going to see his fruit being lived out through us. Why? Because we're missing the way the Christian life is supposed to work, simply by faith in the indwelling Christ, who leads us and guides us into all truth and shares his life with us and actually lives his life through us. That's new covenant stuff. And if you want to experience that in life, I think you have to come to the point and say, I'm a new covenant believer. Make that decision today.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, welcome. We'd love to hear from you by phone. Though calls are coming in, still plenty of room for you on the board at 844-322-2742. Whether you live in the States or in Canada, that's toll-free, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Grand Blanc, Michigan, and talk with Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Welcome.
Before I ask the question, I just want to say it was maybe about four or five years ago. I was on my way to work, and I just happened to accidentally pick you up. And how you feel something in your heart, and you know it's not right. And then when I heard you, I started crying on my way to work because I finally heard truth that made sense. And that was about, you know, losing your forgiveness and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and well, I never called you, but thank you. That's how I just started listening.
Well, thank you, Barbara. And, you know, it just points out, you know, God orders our steps, doesn't he? And his timing is just perfect. And when we need to hear truth that's going to set us free, it's just right there for us. And so
that was a freedom for me. I mean, wow. But my question is about tithing. And it's about Matthew 23:23. Mm-hmm. When it says, the part that says, this you ought to have done. Mm-hmm. So is it talking about you should have done tithing?
Well, you know, in that passage, what we see is actually an incredible revelation, Barbara, because Jesus is identifying the simple fact that tithing is part of the law. You'll notice that he calls it a part of the law. He chastises the Pharisees there. He says that you're tithing, you're spices, you're doing all these things, tithing this and tithing that, but you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law. So this implies pretty directly that tithing was a matter of the law. So they were doing some matters of the law, but Barbara, they were neglecting other matters of the law. And so what is our takeaway? Well, we as Christians, we're not under the law. So we today, on this side of the cross, we're not under a tithe. We're not under a mandated 10% or 20% or any percent.
Right.
Instead, that's why, you know, our death to the law and our freedom from the law means our death to a tithe and our freedom from a tithe. In fact, you and I, most likely, you know, I'm assuming you're a Gentile like me. You're not a person of Jewish descent or Jewish lineage.
Okay.
So you were never given the law and you were never given the tithe. Instead, what we have is an opportunity for grace giving where we get to wake up every day or every week or every month and decide, you know, what do I want to support? What message? What gospel? There are many flavors of faith out there, but if your church or some ministry is proclaiming the truths of this new covenant, then that's worthy of our support and worthy of our excitement. And so that's why Paul says, you know, give freely from the heart, not under pressure. Another translation says not under compulsion. So we shouldn't be pressured into giving. Really, giving is just like everything else. Grace giving is just like grace living. There's a freedom there. There's a heartfelt motive. And we get inspired by Christ who lives in us. And it's not about a particular percentage.
Okay.
Does that help, Barbara?
Yes, that helps a lot. But like I said, again, I guess it just happened that I called you today. But I was so set free that day, and that was like almost 5 years ago. Just listen to, so I thank you for that.
Well, you're so welcome, Barbara. You hang on. We have some information, a CD on New Covenant Giving, and we'll go into more detail. We'd like to put that into your hands, and I'll also send you a copy of a book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So you hang on. We'll get that information to you, and we sure appreciate the encouragement.
Yes,
and
we do.
We are so excited. You are free in Christ.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
You hang on.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available from the book section of our online store. You can find it when you visit store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to do that. It's Bob's brand new book published by Harvest House, and we'd love for you to get a copy of it today. Again, go to store.basicgospel.net and click the book section in the resources section.
Yeah. You know, Andrew and Richard and Bob, as far as this tithing thing is concerned, we're so frightened that if we say that we're set free from the law, that people won't give. And we miss the point that God himself is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's his nature. Hmm. Well, when he comes to live inside of us, and as we start to grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ, guess what we're going to become? I mean, givers, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just part of this relationship that we have with him. That's what he's going to be working in our hearts. So I think we should have the boldness and the courage and the confidence to trust God to change us and transform us. And we won't have to worry about those things. if we will just continue to talk about who Jesus is and talk about this new covenant that he has ushered in, we're going to see God's work in people's lives. That's just the way this thing is set up. It's a no-lose situation. So I think we can have confidence in the very power of God to work inside of us. And if he's a giver, he's going to work giving inside of us. We can just count on it.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. Again, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, good afternoon to you. I want to thank you for the talk you had with me a couple weeks ago. my question now, because of the situation I am, it has to do with don't cast your pearls before swine and shake the dust off your feet. Because if I go to what I feel the Spirit is leading me to do, mankind's law is going to punish me, find me guilty. And so I need a take on that one, please.
Well, Kenny, this passage out of Matthew 7, for example, it's really Jesus is talking to the disciples and all of those who are sitting around him. Maybe they're sitting on rocks there outside of Jerusalem somewhere as he teaches. And, they're basically saying that there's an opportunity for them to go out and share this most incredible message of the gospel. But some people aren't going to swallow it. They're not going to accept it. They're going to reject it. And when they do, you can't, it's like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And so I think we experience that all the time. Those of us who engage in sharing our faith with other people, we're rejected. Sometimes we're hated. We're misunderstood. People label us. They call it a crutch. They say you're checking your brain at the door. Christians get labeled as all kinds of things when people reject the gospel. And so I think what Jesus is really saying here is if you're sensing that that's what's happening, you can't just push someone into the faith and you can't force someone to believe. So don't waste your time and make sure that after presenting something thoroughly to someone, if they've rejected it, then dust your feet, so to speak, and move on. And there's plenty of folks who are interested in getting to know Jesus Christ in an authentic way. So I'm not clear on how that would fit with your personal situation, though, Kenny. You were talking about the law of the land and someone finding you guilty of something. I couldn't make the connection.
Yeah, it's like that lady that the gay marriage thing, her belief system and everything, and she chose to go to jail because she was not abiding by mankind's law that, hey, it's okay now. And so she was standing her ground regardless of what it did to her. She went to jail and she's been released now. I don't know any more than that, but that would happen to me if I kept pursuing what I feel the Spirit is leading me to do, which now puts me in a dilemma, meaning why do I even try, and just ready to give up and say, carry on. So that's the way it is. And that's why I shake the dust off my feet and don't cast the pearls before spying.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's a lot of opinions about what that lady did. My take on that is that what in the world are they doing throwing her in jail? They're going to be sensitive to one group, but not sensitive to her.
Right.
And so you may encounter the very same thing if you were to take some sort of stand. I think ultimately, Kenny, you're going to have to follow the Lord's leading in this. And realize that, number one, you don't have to make some sort of public statement that you are righteous and accepted and loved and you are A-okay with God, whether you make some sort of public statement or not. And so if the Lord gives you the boldness and the endurance to stand up for what is right and sound-minded, then so be it. But you may also find that he's telling you, you know what, don't waste your breath, don't waste your time, don't waste any time casting your pearls before swine. So really, it all comes down to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I think that's why he lives in us, because he wants to be your counselor all through this.
And he is, but at the same time, I don't want to, in this situation, type of situation, go to jail. I mean, I don't,
yeah.
Jail, I can live in jail, which is no big thing, but at the same time, I'd rather not. I'd rather be able to go to 7-Eleven if I want to.
Okay, so, well, I think to get to the bottom of it, can we ask you what, I mean, are you contemplating, is it something about marriage and homosexuality, or is it something different, or?
It's family. It's a family matter, mm-hmm. and it's been going on for 25 years, mm-hmm. and I keep getting the spirit to say, hey, extend out the forgiveness and everything, but it's not being receptive that way, and the people, innocent people, don't want to get involved. You know, yeah, I'd like to get involved, but maybe John Henry over there will, mm-hmm. is how I say it. And so I'm just wrestling a lot, and that's why I called and you talked with me for that half hour, and that was a couple of weeks ago, and I love your discernment on things and your knowledge of the Bible.
Well,
I mentioned it to you, but I wanted to bring it over the air, too.
Right. Now, that was probably Bob Christopher who you were speaking with. And, you know, maybe it sounds like this is a personal matter where maybe we need to follow up with you and you guys could converse again because you don't want to disclose too much over the air, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, Bob, you know, maybe that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, Kenny, we can arrange for something. So let me put you on hold, and we'll. I think we have your number,
that.
And you have ours. So we can carry this on off the air. So you hang on.
And the lines are opened up at 844-322-2742. Time on the clock. And if you have a question you've been holding on to, this is a good opportunity to lay it out before the guys. Again, 844-322-2742. Andrew, you know, this week or this month, we're offering our listeners a copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, The Power of Eight, for a gift of any amount. Share with us your perspective about the importance of our listeners supporting the ongoing message of God's love and grace through Basic Gospel.
Yeah, you know, folks can, of course, give, and one of the benefits of that is just the joy of giving. You know, I've known this ministry for, I guess, 2.5 decades now, guys, and it's been an awesome journey to watch the ministry grow and flourish. So why would someone want to give? Why do I give? Well, it's just so rare to find this message being proclaimed with clarity and boldness. As you survey the airwaves, whether it's Christian television or Christian radio, it's really hard to find people who aren't giving us formulas for self-improvement and 3 steps for this and 10 steps for this,
right.
And making false promises about getting cash returns for, you know, all kinds of good behavior or monetary tithes. And, you know, what we come back to is this thing is about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and the gospel really applies to people's personal problems. And we see healing happen. We see people's emotional issues get resolved and mental concerns get resolved as the love and grace of Jesus Christ invades their lives, and we ourselves have experienced the love of God. And so, to me, you know, that's the number one reason I want to give to Basic Gospel. And so folks out there who feel led to do this, you can simply go to the website, basicgospel.net. It takes just a few minutes. And what we need most is regular givers who we can count on, because just like any ministry or any household, we have to look at our needs every month. And so if you've thought about giving before, if we're part of your everyday jog, if you've got our podcast, or if you catch us in the car on the way home from work, if we're a part of your lives, I would just encourage you to give that small gift, whether it's $5 or $20, whatever God puts on your heart. It's going to make a big difference in someone's life, and that's really important.
Absolutely. Well, that's great encouragement, Andrew, and thank you for sharing that. Friends, you can go to basicgospel.net. You can click donate on any page, and that will get that accomplished. And we'll get a copy of The Power of Eight, the CD series by Bob Christopher, into your hands as well for your gift of any amount. You can also speak with our operator right now, as a matter of fact, at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742.
Interesting, guys. We just had a call that came in, and obviously they had to drop the line, but I thought the question was really important. Anne from New Jersey was asking us to define the word covenant. So we've been talking about the old covenant. We were talking about the new covenant. What in the world does that word mean? It's not something that we use in everyday language. I mean, when was the last time you used the word covenant in a normal conversation? But it's a very important biblical word. So how do we define covenant? What is it exactly?
Yeah, well, back in the original language, I think what you find is that the word will and the word testament and the word covenant all come from the same root. And so the writer of Hebrews, whom we've been quoting today, actually makes an analogy. He says, look, you know, just like a will doesn't go into effect until there's been a death, well, also a covenant doesn't go into effect without a death. And so covenant for us is like a contract that's been drawn up that involves an inheritance being given, but only when there's been a death. And so that's why we say Jesus' death is what brings in the new covenant, not Jesus' birth, but Jesus' death. And when we realize that it's Jesus' death that brought in the new covenant way, well, that helps us understand a whole lot of what Jesus did and said during those 33 years. Sometimes he was talking about the new covenant that was on its way, but it wasn't here yet. And that's really important to understand, that through the cross, through the death of Christ, we benefit from a contract that God signed with himself. And that contract dictates the inheritance that we get in Christ. And that is a wealth of forgiveness, a wealth of grace, the wealth of having a brand new identity, a new heart. And most importantly, we get Christ in us forever.
Yeah. And we're going to start something new, Andrew, on the program on Friday, October 2nd. We're going to be introducing a teaching edition of the program, and we're going to start with our Bible study guide, the basic gospel study series called The New Covenant Journey. And we will be looking at that word covenant in detail, passage after passage from the book of Hebrews, from the book of 2 Corinthians, other parts of the Word of God that really explain what a covenant is and how important this new covenant is to us. We're going to be looking at the person of Jesus Christ, the one who ushered in this covenant, the Word of God, basically the document that tells us about this new covenant, the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, our new identity, our new inheritance. That's what we're going to be talking about on Fridays starting October 2nd. And we have a wonderful resource that we want you to get. Go to our website, basicgospel.net, and purchase a copy of The New Covenant Journey so that you can study along with us. As we've talked about this week, this is one of those most important truths. I think it's why many Christians struggle, because they don't really get the fact that they are new covenant believers. They're trying to mix the old with the new, and that's just a big bowl of spaghetti,
yeah,
a mess. And we want to cut through that mess and bring some clarity on how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And it works only in this new covenant. So join us on this study every Friday beginning October 2nd. Go to basicgospel.net and order your copy of The New Covenant Journey. We've actually discounted it by 20%. Normally $10, you can get yours for $8.
Richard, for just a few seconds here, fill us in on the upcoming events with Basic Gospel.
Well, we just talked about the first one, this thing starting on Friday, October the 2nd with the teaching series. October the 4th, we will be at Park Meadow Church in Waxahachie, Texas. Those of you here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, even down in, as far as Waco, come see us. October 24th, we'll be at King's College in New York City. And November 7, Grace Community Church in Bristow, Virginia.
Yeah. So all those events are, of course, you can find information when you click the events tab at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Just go to events, and all that information is right there. We would love to see you and meet you at one of the Basic Gospel events. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.